And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't go out there, get the conversation started, or maybe we go off and we chase a rabbit down a rabbit hole just to see how the gears turn within our own head and see what ideas pop out within our own time. Now, in this time of social distancing, it's kind of hard to go out there and talk with people. Yeah, we've got the ability to talk online, a lot of it through text, quite a bit through the Zoom chats. But I had a conversation with a customer this week that was kind of eye-opening, a realization. When you sit there and you think that, you know, you're not going to run into anybody of any significance of any previous generation, lo and behold, someone comes out and shares their story. This customer of mine, he and his parents had emigrated from Castro's Cuba. And that was pretty mind-blowing to me, to more or less come into contact with someone so close to great events in history. And he's had a lot of worries about what's been going on lately between the statues and the defunding of the police and the cancel culture. And he had said that had happened in Cuba. There had been such a rush to erase history, you know, go about claiming to fix everything, promising this and that, offering the benefits of communism, only to come about and find out that hundreds of thousands of people would be murdered later, private property would be a thing of the past, and just promises, not keeping up to what they had been offered. And he looks at what's going on today, and he says it's exactly the same thing as what's going on as when he and his family fled, came here with a backpack full of Cuban cigars, and sold those to get his life started here in the United States. And it is pretty scary. This tumultuous time, this time of political correctness where we need to walk on eggshells. We're all stuck inside of a house or an apartment, suffering from cabin fever, where we're not able to go out and discuss and share ideas and interact. We've become so politically divided that both sides are wrong and only your side is right. It's almost like we're reliving the Red Scare of the 1950s. We've got our new wave of McCarthyism. McCarthyism when everyone in Congress, everyone who even potentially had communist or socialist ideas was outcast. Might as well have been burned at the stake as a witch from the Salem witch trials. People out there, supposedly out there to subvert and destroy America. And everybody was just being outcast. Everybody walked on eggshells. They didn't want to be considered a communist out to destroy this great American dream. We even had socialists and communist people attempt to run for president during that time frame. Earl Browder gained a lot of support, ran into a lot of opposition within police forces, silencing his speech because people disagreed with it. And again, in a tumultuous time, dealing with the Nazis and the Germans out there taking over Europe under the guise of communism or national socialism, offering a better world for all. But even lo and behold, after the McCarthyism and the changes to all the free speech rights to guarantee that everybody has the right to speak, even if they believe that the communist ideals are the correct ideals, change those rules. But it had come out that couple hundred individuals within government, both willing and unknowingly being contributors to the Soviet Union's communist policies to subvert the United States. And that's not to say everybody out there is out to destroy the United States, but it sure seems like it when we start looking at what the protests and the public fights are about. Again, this cancel culture. This new Red Scare, is this a Red Scare against the MAGA hats? These red hats, except we're not fighting the communists, we're fighting the capitalists. Anyone who doesn't yield and bow down to the hardcore liberal ideas, we can agree that there needs to be an advancement in how we communicate, how we discuss things, how we interpret other people's feelings. But to outright lock people down, shout them down, exclude them from the conversation, does not advance the conversation. Again, everybody is a witch that does not agree. Throw them in the lake. If they float, they're a witch. If they don't float, I guess they weren't a witch, and oh well, they're gone. The customer had also told me that when Castro had taken power, he had installed mayors all throughout the country, families that were loyal to him, people that would go out and enforce this new rule, this new communist rule, to ensure the best for the country. And I feel that we have a much better system available to us as of right now. We haven't undergone a coup of guerrillas or military overtaking the people that hold office to represent us. So it becomes a little bit more difficult to go out and instill those people that will support the ideals of the party, of this grand idea. And even though I'm here in Western Washington and my ideas, my knowledge focuses around Democrats, I do not leave Republicans out of this argument at all. But the Democrats right now, here in Washington State, the party, as I've discussed within playing by party rules, it worries me. You have decisions at the top that are mandated, and through carefully calculated individual mandates that are able to pass with the collective group that was within that city, state, county, or country, the ideas get passed, for better or for worse. There's good ideas and there's bad ideas. There's heinous ones. Again, I don't think that our Governor Jay Inslee or Democrat operative of Seattle, Jenny Durkin, who let Chaz and Chop become a thing without instilling the rule of law. We can have the conversation that, again, sometimes you have to throw a fit for people to actually listen to you. But when you don't control that fit and things get out of control, you're going to have to be cruel when you should be kind. But this week, or this last week, I guess, the Seattle City Council passed a jobs tax, or in more appropriate speak, an income tax for anybody making over $150,000 a year. Now, luckily, I don't hit that point, and I also don't live within the city of Seattle, but $150,000 just outside of Seattle is really not that much money. And especially when you start throwing in requirements for kids and daycare and schooling and other social programs just to be a part of the normal that is out here, $150,000 isn't anything. And it's targeted at businesses, so it's not really an income tax, it's a payroll tax, so the company just takes that right from your paycheck because the city of Seattle says so. And what this will do, in a roundabout way, is it will push businesses out. Employees don't want to get taxed any more than they already do out here. But then again, Seattle and the greater area, surrounding area, usually doesn't see a tax that it does not like. It's for the social better. It's for the social good. Everybody can chip in to support this. The problem is not everybody can afford it. Not everybody is willing to cut the corners to pay that. Again, you need your daycare. You need your sports equipment. You need your fancy car. You need your $500,000 home on a quarter acre lot. And so this pushing of businesses outwards, this idea goes on the extreme. Seattle is very extreme on its liberal policies. But there's plenty of people that live in the suburbs of Seattle and travel into Seattle. Seattle is not limited to just the city limits. Seattle is a way of life, more or less, out here. Everybody has those progressive liberal ideas. And while I don't see a payroll tax or income tax coming to any city outside of Seattle anytime soon, I almost see this as the installing of mayors like Castro did out there to support the ideas. We have too dense of a population of like-minded individuals within Seattle. Push them outwards, get the ideas to spread, and we can instill a greater swath of ideas to form these representatives, get these governments across counties and cities to agree more broadly. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Again, you need to have the proper representation to instill these ideas. But at the same time, you drown out some of these smaller voices, these countervailing voices, voices that on some level are reason out there to counteract your point, to make sure that we don't go too far, or especially too quickly, issue something close to a collapse. Again, that income tax bill, it's there to jumpstart Seattle. That's the title of it. It's there to fix it, get everything started, right as everything is closed down and nobody can afford anything. Those kind of ideas, again, will spread. And when you have people out there that say, I'm already paying 10% sales tax, I'm already paying the second highest gas tax compared to California, and we still don't have enough money, it's not that conservatives are necessarily right-wing religious nuts. Sometimes they're just there to make sure that you don't go too crazy with the credit card. And then we come through again with this cancel culture, this means to shut down people, shut them up because they're not progressive in their thinking. They're too old school. They're not willing to change their mind. Who's not willing to change their mind again at that point of shouting people down? No fight for middle ground. Do I see the United States as becoming a communist country? No. Do I see large swaths coming through becoming communist countries, more or less? And we fight for these communist ideals because of income inequality. There's the haves and the have-nots. I don't want to give you homework, but just remember that book, Animal Farm. The animals saw that the farmer was getting too much for all the hard work that the animals had. So all the animals stood up, fought, got rid of the farmer, and then they realized they need some sort of leadership. So the pigs took over, stayed in the barn at the beginning, made sure all the rules were fair and equal. And then the pigs decided to move into the house because they needed proper sleep because of how much brain work that they were getting. Slow evolution up the ladder. And all of a sudden, at the very end of the book, it becomes a matter of all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Right back to the haves and the have-nots. Except the number of have-nots becomes greatly increased. Everybody has an equal way of life, an equally crappy way of life. And then the haves, those elites, those representatives, if they're to be called that at that point, have everything. We have to take care of the ruling class to make sure that they can sleep and think well and provide rules that will best embrace us all. We can have the discussion of how institutions have abused and taken advantage of us throughout the years. But within this representative democracy that we have, we're able to make the changes. We're able to instill rules. But when it becomes less about representing the individuals that we all are, that we all participate in, it becomes targeted. And if you all can't play fairly, then no one can play with the toys at all. Am I here to be dismal and leave things on a terrible note? No, I prefer not to. Like I said, we're just here to communicate, converse, get ideas rolling within our own head. And we can evolve this conversation. It's not just between you and me. It's between you, me, and whoever you decide to talk to with these ideas. Get that conversation started. We can't be uneducated. We can all have our personal views on how things are to unfold. There needs to be a give and take. And we'll pull through this. I do believe that. I believe that we are all out there wanting, again, the best for everybody. And we'll make it through just fine. But if you don't think so, or if you agree, hit me up on Twitter, at Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. Or you go to the website, billybones.com. Again, that's the number 3 instead of the E. You get the episode list there. Or, in order to communicate, there's an email link. There's also a link to the Discord if you're one of those users. Come in there, let me know things I got right, things I got wrong. things I left out, or maybe I should have added something. Maybe we can get that conversation started. And this is a Value for Value podcast. If you found value out of this podcast, again, go to that website. You scroll all the way down, billyballoons.com. Hit that Value for Value button. Chip in a dollar or two, whatever you think it's worth. But if it wasn't worth any money, it's all good. Share the show. Maybe we can get the conversation started elsewhere. Maybe someone else gets an idea. But otherwise, I love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week.